Welcome to Discovery Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is a four questions episode with Kim and Nate Ellis. And you should know they're the team behind the film Delivery, and Delivery is in the Discovery Indie Film TV series, season 3, episode 6. But I would like to hear from you. Hi.
Hello.
They're here to answer the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And let's see, we already mentioned that your film Delivery, written and directed by Nate and starring Kim, is in the TV series. So feel free. Who wants to go first? You can do, like, favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Ping pong.
Okay. So my favorite of all time, Lord of the Rings. I love adventure, fantasy, and just, I love how complicated the story is.
And that's the whole trilogy? Or are you just going with the all
the
three
whole,
films?
Yep.
Extended length, 12 hours,
yep.
Cinematic perfection.
Oh, yeah.
No argument here.
What about you?
My favorite film of, well, so it's a little bit nostalgia. I have a lot of films that I really like, but RoboCop, the original 1986, it's one of the most well-made satires that I've ever seen, and it also captures that 80s just awesomeness and sleaziness with the corporate corruption in it. And I just, it's just really well made. I think it has a weird title that maybe turns people off to not watch it that maybe aren't familiar with it, but RoboCop is awesome.
RoboCop is awesome. And I've heard it said, I think Peter Weller, who I don't know how well you can judge him as the star of RoboCop, but he said when he read it, it was the best script he'd ever read.
Yeah, I believe
just
it.
Perfect three-act structure, perfect storytelling, exciting, carries you the whole way through.
Yeah, I believe it. It's really well made, really well done.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
And you each have more films? You get up to three for your favorites.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's like my absolute favorite, but it just had a huge impact on me. A Star is Born.
The more recent one?
Yeah, with Lady Gaga. I remember leaving the theater still in tears over the themes of the movie. And so, yeah. It just, again, I mentioned before that I'm a huge advocate for mental health, and so that film just had a really huge impact on me in that sense.
I'm going nostalgia here. Aliens, the second one, James Cameron, mainly just because it feels so real. That world is so rich. I feel like if they did that nowadays, it would be too polished and over the top, maybe. But Aliens just feels raw and gritty and real and dark.
And it's easy to see. We watched it again, I think, during lockdown, and it really takes its time setting up the characters, setting up the situation. And yeah, if they made it today, it would start with massive action sequences that made no sense.
Yeah. I feel in some ways that was like the golden age of movies was, but it's also when I grew up. So it's like, maybe I'm biased, but.
And you've already named Verhoeven and Cameron. So you're talking rock solid 80s.
Yeah.
Whatever, action wave.
Yeah. You get number three?
Number three. Oh, I actually didn't think of a number three, but I'm just going to come up with one on the spot. Toy Story 3. That was, just for me, again, that made me really emotional. I'm such an actor. It was just a really good story about friendship, you know. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I had a friend who saw it. I don't know if I saw it, but I have a friend who told me Toy Story 3 had the most emotional depth of any film made that year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I believe it. Mm-hmm. My number three is Saving Private Ryan, just because I remember seeing it in the theater and the D-Day Omaha Beach scene. I've never quite felt that immersed in a movie experience ever, maybe other than watching Jurassic Park, which also Spielberg, but Saving Private Ryan I just think is really well done. In terms of just gritty realism and putting you there.
Absolutely. And I mean, I guess I'll in this podcast, the last podcast, we heard about your past in the military and flying helicopters in Afghanistan. So if Spielberg pulled you in, there's no bullshit in that movie.
Yeah, well, now that's just, because I have the same effect now as an adult after all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I remember watching it when it came out in the theater.
Right, right.
And that was pretty epic. Yeah.
Huge. And a great film.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've covered favorites. And I love that you chose favorites and didn't... everyone can do whatever they want, but some people try to choose the best films ever made. Mm-hmm. But it means, but the question is favorite. What do you enjoy most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, next comes underrated. And Nate, you can go first.
Underrated is, there's a movie called Enter the Void. And it's by Gaspar Noé. I think I'm saying his name right. Enter the Void is about... You'd call it a near-death experience, but it turns it into a death, sort of a near-death reincarnation experience. But watching that movie, there's nothing else quite like it that I've ever seen, and it looked really hard to make, and it's done really well. And I highly recommend it. I feel like I never hear about it. I'm surprised I don't hear more people talking about it. Maybe it's the people that I'm talking to, but Enter the Void.
I haven't heard of it, so
you should watch it.
You've given me something to watch.
I don't think I've seen it.
We did. It's out there. That filmmaker makes unique. He usually does like drug movies, and this movie does have some drug stuff in it, but it's less of a drug movie and more of a existential experience.
Oh, okay, it just came to me. Yeah, I remember now. Mine is American Honey with Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf, yeah. Do you remember that one?
I remember when it came out. I saw it.
I just it's a really good coming of age movie. It's just very raw and real. Like, they actually didn't feel like actors to me. A lot of the people that came out.
A lot of them weren't actors. They were just people they
found.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah. And of course, like Shia LaBeouf, his performance, it's amazing. Just very thought provoking and just very raw.
Kids selling like lost wayward kids selling magazines. Back when that was a thing in like the 90s, it just captures that feeling,
like,
and that
life on
vibe
the road
really well.
And like, yeah, the connections you make at that age and how you grow, like life forcing you to grow up, you know? Yeah.
I love Shia LaBeouf.
Me too.
I thought that, oh my God, what was the film? Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I was so upset that I didn't get nominated for Best Picture. I thought that was remarkable work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
American Honey, though. I agree. Mm-hmm.
I've heard... Okay, it's added. And now the fun one, overrated.
Overrated. I don't know if you've heard of Burning. And it has... it stars Steven Yeun, who I absolutely love. But the movie itself, it's a little too ambiguous for me. Some people love that. But at the end of the movie, I'm like, what the heck just happened? And for me, I don't like that. And so, yeah.
Fair enough.
I didn't get it.
He was
too slow.
He's the actor from Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's excellent.
Oh, I love him. But yeah, just the movie, it's kind of just a bit weird for me.
Fair enough.
Am I allowed to say a filmmaker, or do I have to keep it to a film?
Oh, feel free. There are no rules.
Because I noticed when I thought about this that there's one filmmaker in particular that I hate to say. I feel he's overrated. I think he's very talented. Aaron Sorkin. He is just, I think film is a visual medium, right? And not to get off topic, but like the first film we had to do at USC, they forbid us from putting any dialogue. And the point of it was to use visual metaphor, which is obviously where film can be the most powerful. And I feel like Aaron Sorkin, it's more about the writing, fast, lots of it, so much of it that the actors have to literally walk through a scene talking the whole time. And to me, I think it gets away from what filmmaking really is at its best. And the only movie of his that I really liked, and I liked The West Wing a little bit, but which is a show, but not a movie, but is Social Network. But like Molly's Game, I was so bored watching that. The Steve Jobs movie, I was so bored. And it's just because there's so much talking. No offense to anyone that likes him. I think he's very talented, but it's just, I just think it's not, it's cheating in a way. There's just, it's too expository.
I get you in every way.
Yeah.
I don't disagree at all. And I think, he also isn't good at writing different voices. I feel like everyone has the same voice and it's his.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Yes. No,
and I like some of the stuff. I like some of the stuff he did. One of the more, Chicago 7, that Netflix movie was one of his better. I think I even sat there and said, it was either those actors giving their characters their own voices, or was the fact they were based on real people, so they had their own voices. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the first Sorkin scripts I've seen where.
Yeah. I think maybe people enjoy trying to keep up with what everyone's saying and trying to stay intellectually engaged. Like, okay, yeah, this is what's happening here. Oh, that's so clever. That to me is.
Or they're afraid he's so smart that not liking him makes him dumb, which is not true.
Right. So a lot of people probably think I'm dumb.
Because I've never been a big fan either. And he's almost, you know, he's like David Mamet without the cursing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
throwing shade at two greats of our times, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. I should pressure you for the worst Sorkin film, but I won't.
Yeah.
But you said the best. And by the way, as you pointed out, you're just saying overrated. You're not saying he's bad.
No,
a lot of his stuff
not.
Is great.
Just not my preference. Mm.
Absolutely. And now the lesser known to seek out, which in a way you're underrated, gave me one, but.
Good.
So it's called, it's actually a Korean film, and the director is the one who did Parasite. And so it's one of his earlier films, and I actually like it a lot better than Parasite. And it's called Memories of Murder. And it's actually inspired by true events about a serial killer in Korea. I believe he was like in the 70s or 80s. But yeah, that's a really good, like, intense movie.
Yeah,
I remember watching it in college. Like, I was scared that someone was going to come in and kill me.
It's really well done. I think it's Korean cinema at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Parasite.
Like people are just now discovering like Korean films, and I honestly, for me, that film's better than Parasite.
Now, it's kind of amazing when people in there, let's just say, when people under 30 are sitting at that microphone. They keep naming Korean films because of my, I'm just too old for it. Like the Korean cinema hit our shores.
Yeah.
And I'm too old to even like, I have been watching nothing but kids movies for like 13 years. So it's like, you know, I can talk about, you know, lots of stuff, but I completely missed, and I keep hearing about how great these films were before Parasite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, a lot of people name Parasite as overrated. Because his earlier films are so much better, and he wins Best Picture for what's maybe not his best.
That's what we felt.
I absolutely agree, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's his best work. I think maybe, you know, now that America is just getting a hold of, like, Korean cinema. And to them, it's, like, different and new. But, yeah, I feel like a lot of his earlier films are just, really good.
Absolutely. And we already got your lesser known. No, we didn't.
No. Well, I would say real quick for the younger audience, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. It is really creepy and weird and realistic. But generally, there's a movie called U-Turn, Oliver Stone. It's got Sean Penn, Jennifer Lopez, Joaquin Phoenix. It's got all these big actors. But I feel like no one's heard of it. And it's not really like Oliver Stone's best work, but it's really fun to watch because it's really weird.
And I remember when it came out, like Sean Penn just can't get out of that town, right?
Yeah, okay, great. You're the first person that said I remember about U-Turn. But like, it's weird. It's very artistic.
I don't think I saw it though. I just remember
the
theaters.
The characters are fun too. Joaquin Phoenix is, it's everything. Everything's really fun. U-Turn. by Oliver Stone.
U-Turn, excellent. Good picks. Good all around.
Thank you.
And I'll mention, now that we're done, I'll mention your film again, Delivery. Everyone should watch Delivery in the Discovery New Film TV series. It is on Amazon Prime, on Amazon Prime Video. Just go there. Go to Season 3, Episode 6. And you can see the great film made by these two. And you can tell by their lists, they have good taste. And give that TV series 5 stars. And give this podcast 5 stars if you're listening. Give everything related to the three people you're listening to 5 stars everywhere you can. And if you want to learn more about this podcast and the TV series, go to discoveryindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And the Sherman Oaks Film Festival is how I met Kim and Nate. The Sherman Oaks Film Festival is every November, and you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com. And on social media, it's at ShermanOaksFF. And there is a sister festival to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That's Film Invasion LA, and it's every June. And that's FilmInvasionLA.com and at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I don't have to keep blabbing on with those things. I think we're done. I even remembered to ask for the 5 stars, which... I swear to God, I probably have to give this podcast 5 stars. I don't know if I remember to. I better do that.
We will.
Ask. And thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks for your answers.
Yeah, thank you.